You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Yeah, good morning. Can you feel the love in the air as it's Happy Valentine's Day, right? Everybody got their little things they gotta get done today. And when I say little, that could be used any way you want it to be used. And that is a big night. I was out this little morning about 1 o'clock in the morning getting stuff for the kids for Valentine's Day. So that was a little crazy that I waited till 1 o'clock in the morning. But sometimes, you know, you get caught up in life and you're doing things. But you still deliver. You got to deliver anytime you can. And when you're speaking about delivering, today we're going to deliver like nobody's business with the King, Scott Angle. Scott, how are we doing?
Good this morning. How you doing, Tony?
I'm excited. I mean, it's Valentine's Day. We're having a little fantasy show. It's just one of those things in life that you've always dreamed of as doing a show on fantasy sports on Valentine's Day. Always been a dream of mine.
Yeah, it's sometimes you talk to people and, you know, you'll say, how you doing today? And some people just go, oh, fine. But others like who say, I'm living the dream, you know, if they're in a really good mood. I think maybe that would be your response today.
Now, are you one of those guys that's in a really good mood? Like, do you get excited about the whole Valentine's Day extravaganza? Because a lot of guys don't like it because they feel like it costs them money.
Actually, it my wife gets me something every year, and we exchanged gifts last night, and so it's really cool. And after my 10 a.m. show today, I'm gonna head out and meet her for lunch before I return to the studio to do more recordings. We'll have a Valentine's Day lunch, so I'm looking forward to it. They actually opened up the first ever Cheesecake Factory in New York City, and we're gonna go check that out.
I'm not a big fan of the Cheesecake Factory for the wrong reason, though. The food's good, there's no doubt about it. But they have the biggest menu I've ever seen in my life.
You get overwhelmed?
With everything in the world. Yeah, I'm like, what the hell should I order? Like, I narrowed it down to like 8 things, and I'm like, then I got to narrow it down to 4 things.
That's how they keep it coming back, you know? It's like you tried something one time, then you come back, because I looked at the dessert menu, and it's like, as a diabetic, it's a big tease. But once a week, you know, I'll get something nice and sugary. So I think this might be the day of the week.
That's the way to go about it.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I can't totally abstain, you know. But like occasionally, you know, I'll cheat here and there.
No cheating. That's the way to go about it. Now, is the fantasy executive a guy that worries about the dessert menu, or does he just take whatever's put in front of him?
First of all, good morning, Tone.
Good morning. How are we doing, Scotty? Mr. Executive?
I'm doing well. Kicking it, feeling pretty good. I just got a couple questions right off the top. As far as the dessert menu goes, I'm not really a big dessert guy, but every now and then, maybe once every 3 or 4 months, I'll be at a restaurant, I'll have a dessert, you know what I'm saying, if I'm kicking it.
You're like me, then, because I'm not a dessert guy, because I eat like a pig in the main meal.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's the thing. I want to get as much as I can, and I have nothing left for dessert.
See, me too, usually, but like if you go into the Cheesecake Factory, I think you have to.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, it kind of is one of the reasons for it. What did your wife give you last night, Scott?
She gave me like kind of like it was kind of like a gag gift in addition to the candy that she gave me.
Oh, okay.
You know, she gave me like a giant like a Captain America stuffed figurine.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is definitely a gag gift. You're not Captain America. You're more like, you know, well, Bart Simpson.
Yeah, you're like and you're like Wonder Woman. No, I like Captain America. I started watching the movies a lot last year, and I really like it. I went to see Civil War, and I like Cap. He's pretty cool.
Let me ask you this also, Scotty. I've never seen you take an insulin, Scotty. When, you know,
I don't take insulin. I got diabetes type 2, not type 1.
Oh, so you have like a different type of...
I'm diabetic, but I'm not to the extent where I take insulin.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah. I just want to make sure you're all right.
Why? You wanted to be my nurse?
No, I don't want to be your nurse. I want to make sure you're all right, Scott. That's the most important thing to me.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
That's tough for me. Like, I can't get diabetes, though, like, because I'm afraid of needles. Like, I get all crazy.
Yeah. It's like I don't like the blood sugar machine that you check your sugar with, because, like, poking a little needle into you, I just don't like it. It's like,
you like bigger needles.
If I want a little prick, I'll ask for Corey.
No, see, I knew this is where it was going. Like, this show has become so predictable. What happened here?
What is this? Come on. All right, anyhow.
3 minutes in. We're talking 3 minutes in on Valentine's Day. We're talking about little pricks. I mean, it's so predictable. What the hell happened here? You're listening to the Valentine's Day edition.
Please don't mention anybody in the industry, Tony, that you think is a little prick.
Oh, shoot. We don't got 3 hours. But we do have a problem in the industry. We might as well get to it.
I thought big I was reading something last night, Tone. What's going on?
Yeah,
the Labor Mixed Draft was last night, right?
Yep, that happened last night. But I don't think that's what Tony's talking about.
Did I miss something
last night?
Yes. Buffalo Bills running back LeSean McCoy says he can't believe that people waste their time with Pro Football Focus. They're a little nerds that have never played football in their lives and don't know anything.
I think this is kind of a result, if you don't mind responding right away, unless you wanted to say something first, Tony.
No, I'm interested in your reaction.
No, my reaction.
I think he was talking about you.
Really? I don't work for Pro Football Focus, so I don't think he was talking about me.
Talking about us.
No, he was talking about us as a group. I think he. I don't think he was singling out Jeff Radcliffe specifically.
Yeah. Well, anyhow. You know, his reactions to something like this is, you know, and I talk about it in Benny Riccardi's upcoming ebook too, about how a long time, like in sports, there was like a division between, you know, the players and like even like the scouts, like the old school people and the statistics people. I remember meeting Jose Canseco's book and him saying the same thing, like all these number crunchers, you know. I dared them to show up to in the locker room, you know, and talk to me to my face, and none of them ever did. Why would they, though?
Nobody ever, like, I don't know anyone in fantasy that said, you know what, today I want to wake up and fight Jose Canseco. Like, that's never really been anything I don't think anyone's ever wanted
to do. It's the way the players react to people that watch the game and maybe say something that they don't like. It's a defense mechanism. You never played the game. You know, comes from guys who are, like, on the defense, who are, like, in the NFL, and, like, they view it from a different point. And I don't think, you know, that maybe LeSean McCoy is mature enough to understand this. And talking to Chris Dolman, who played the game, I had this conversation with him. I say, what do you think about guys who say, oh, you never played the game? And he would dismiss that because some of us may not have the talent to play football, but we have a certain eye for things as observers that the players themselves don't. There's a lot of players that don't try to go into post-football careers, and they fail, you know, as broadcasters or analysts because they don't see the game the same way from an overhead vantage point like we do. They may have had the talent to play the game the way they do, and I respect that, but they just because you don't have the talent to play the game doesn't mean you don't have the talent to analyze the game. And I don't think somebody like LeSean McCoy understands that. He might understand that when he tries for a post-NFL analyst career and gets a different view on it, because there's a lot of players who can't do the analysis, and I respect the ones that do. So I think it's just a defensive reaction. Somebody probably pointed out a metric, and you know he got upset about it. But I think it's an immature response and dismissal that he'll probably like think about later when he grows up.
Fantasy executive, this is exactly what happened. Pro Football Focus came out with their top 101 players for 2016. LeSean McCoy was not one of them, and he decided to take it to Twitter. He tweeted out, at PFF, you guys suck. A bunch of nerds who have never played a lick of football in your whole life.
Yeah, well, I didn't know. I saw the tweet. I didn't know how far back the story went. But the fact that he's not one of the top 101 players, that's a mistake. You look at the season he had this year, I definitely think he exceeded expectations. He was excellent this season. We saw some, like, throwback to his days with Andy Reid in Philadelphia and with Chip in that first year with Chip in Philadelphia. So them leaving him off the list is a mistake. Now, it's his reaction, his emotional response is wrong also. And it's probably more egregious the way that he reacted about it. But like Scott said, you know what I mean? He took it personally. This is how he reacted. But and when he gets off the playing field and he starts to and he starts to put things together in his off the field life, he's going to turn to more than likely analysis or try to turn in that direction, and he'll see what an advantage that we already have on him.
Yeah, you know, there are people who could say, you know, Tony, like, how old are you, like, calling people nerds? You know, it's like, you're not in high school, and B, it's like, calling somebody a nerd today is a compliment because
I don't know if that's a compliment.
Nerds dominate our society. Look at Corey. He tries so hard to be cool, but he's not trying to be cool. He's always on his cell phone. He's always on his computer. Nerds dominate and fuel the society. Everybody's on their cell phone. Everybody's on their computer. NBA players are wearing glasses without lenses. It's just like, you know, basically, it's a compliment nowadays, and I think LeSean McCoy will probably want to become a nerd after he's finished with his playing career.
No, but they all nerds at Pro Football Focus. You know, let's get that out the way first.
That's a good thing.
I gotta clarify something first. Time out. I have to clarify something for LeSean McCoy and for everybody else. LeSean's not exactly right here. I don't know if LeSean realizes that Chris Collinsworth, a former player, owns Pro Football Focus.
No, you're right. Mm-hmm. He doesn't realize that.
In fact, he played 8 seasons in the NFL. He caught 36 touchdown passes.
He was a great receiver for the Bengals. He played the Super Bowl for them.
And secondly, here's another thing I don't think LeSean McCoy knows. The NFL Network has a top 100 list, which is compiled by the National Football League players. At number 56 was Blake Bortles on the NFL list, voted by the players. So LeSean McCoy...
How many Jaguars voted?
I don't know, LeSean, about the players voting when Blake Bortles was at number 56. Of course, Pro Football Focus did not have Blake Bortles or LeSean McCoy. I wonder, and I don't have the list in front of me. Here's what they said, and this is here's why they explained why he was not on the list. The site, and I knew this was the reason. I think the running back position is the problem, is that a lot of people don't look at the running back position anymore as a position of skill. So he was listed as the 6th best running back, which isn't bad. It was probably accurate, I believe, if we ranked him. So here we go. The site graded him as the 6th best back in football last season. Pro Football Focus explained that he was left off the list due to his poor performance as a blocker, not his running ability. McCoy is being a tad oversensitive here. So they were left out because it was blocking, but he was still the 6th best back, so there was only 5 backs in the list.
Yeah, he is being oversensitive, but it's just tough for me to leave him off the list after the year he had when blocking is not really in his repertoire.
The guy is the best cutback runner in the NFL.
He's excellent.
Nobody makes people miss like LeSean McCoy. LeSean McCoy will probably regret something like this, especially doing it on Twitter, because you can be emotional, and in a quick trigger moment, you could probably tweet out something you're going to regret. I think it's an immature response, you know, especially in today's society, you know, where everything is dominated by social media, et cetera, and electronics. But again, it's a defensive response. It's somebody lashing out without thinking about it.
Do you think he deserved to be left off that list?
No, I don't. There's no way I could have a top 100 and not have LeSean McCoy in it. I think everybody's entitled to their opinion.
What are you basing it on, though? If they're right.
Right.
And he failed at half the game. That's tough.
His main job, though, is to run the ball, and he did a damn good job of it. If you want to bump him down for his blocking, I respect that, but I can't imagine there's 100 players in the NFL that if I was starting a team that I'd rather have than LeSean McCoy.
Well, you think about it, he was the 6th back, which I think is very legitimate, right?
Right.
I can see the 6th back. Mean,
right? So right. Now you look at the running back position. Like, why are you taking that position and relegating over a tackle or a guard or a center?
We're talking about 100 guys, you know, Pierre. Not 20.
There's 22 different positions, though. That's 5 positions each gets you to 110.
And this guy is, like, borderline top 5 at his position. It's hard to, you know, this guy is somebody that defenses game plan for every week. I think this is what I was talking about with baseball and football last week.
Here's what I disagree with.
Right.
Mike Gillisley, when he started, right, didn't he put up big numbers?
Yeah, but I don't think he can take over a game like LeSean McCoy can. And it's one thing to put up good numbers, but to consistently on a week to week basis, like he's done throughout his career, LeSean McCoy is a difference maker. I respect Gillisley for putting up his good numbers, but I think LeSean McCoy from what I've seen on film, and this is the issue I have with this. We talk about baseball for football. For football, we talked about it last week, Tony. You can look at the numbers and look at the line drive, fly ball rate, and everything I was talking about last week. With football, there's certain things on film that, to me, I just can't make it a pure numbers game. What I see with the eyeball test, LeSean McCoy is one of the best in the game, and I don't think it's something you can quantify purely with numbers.
When you look at it, you got Ezekiel Elliott ahead of him. Any argument there?
No.
Le'Veon Bell?
No.
No.
David Johnson?
Nope.
Nope.
How about DeMarco Murray?
Yes. Yes, LeSean McCoy, in my opinion, is a better player than DeMarco Murray.
It's close for me, but I'd take LeSean McCoy.
Melvin Gordon.
Ooh, McCoy. He's definitely better than Melvin Gordon. But we're going to see what the deal is with LeSean McCoy coming up this season. And that's why I was saying when we were on Old School last week, Scott, I'm not in on McCoy unless I get him as an RB2, which likely won't happen. The loss of Anthony Lynn is going to be big because Anthony Lynn is a ground and pound, give the football to the running back, start the game, run the football. That's the premise of the offense. That's how Anthony Lynn wants to play it. Now Anthony Lynn takes that to Los Angeles with the Chargers next year. Now you have Shady coming in position with Rick Dennison as the offensive coordinator. We don't know what his schemes are going to be as far as running the football and running the offense. Not to mention the fact E.J. Manuel can be the quarterback. Tyrod Taylor was instrumental.
Or Cardale Jones, as we've been hearing recently.
Tyrod Taylor was instrumental.
Tony's two years ahead of his time.
Taylor's ability to be mobile and run the football helps open up running lanes for LeSean McCoy. We're going to learn what McCoy is if he's really in the top 100 this upcoming season. That's why I want McCoy as an RB2, not as an RB1. So, Tone, I probably won't have McCoy nowhere in 2017.
How about these two backs, Devonta Freeman and Jordan Howard?
I would take Freeman and Howard over Shady.
I don't know if I would take Howard over him yet. And I might take him over Freeman, too.
Howard was really over Freeman?
Yeah.
Really, Scott? Freeman's a better
player. I said I would take McCoy over them, too, is what I said.
Freeman's a better player than McCoy.
I'm surprised, though, with Freeman.
Yeah, Freeman's a better player than McCoy.
When I look statistically, I look at the numbers. Howard had the second most yards.
Look, Howard may earn it, but, it's like McCoy has a longer track record. So I'm not saying I won't eventually change my mind, but after, what was it, like less than a full season? I'm not ready to rank him ahead yet.
But what about Freeman, though?
Well, we're not talking fantasy here. I think we're talking if we want to start an NFL team and not look at it from fantasy perspectives. And I already know what McCoy is, and he's established.
Okay.
Well, Freeman's done it for a couple of years, too, now, though.
Yeah, it's very much closer for me.
We'll take a quick break. We come back. We'll break down some more news. We've got more polls for you today. Both Valentine's Day related, some football related, some love-hate relationships. Scott, do you have any love-hate relationships?
Love-hate relationships. That's a deep one. I got to think about that during the break.
Corey, any love-hate relationships with you?
I have to look a little bit deeper into it. Obviously, I have a love-hate relationship with Madison Square Garden right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We come back, we'll talk about that as they had a
sit down.
They had a meeting last night.
Yeah, they had a sit down.
Yeah. And it's interesting, the people that were involved in this one. So we'll talk about that and a whole lot more. You listen to the Roto Experts in the Morning, Valentine's Day edition. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this. Welcome back to the Roto Experts in the Morning. My name is Tony Cicada. I am with the King, Scott Engel. and, of course, the fantasy executive. Now, I saw a little bit of the highlights of the Knicks owner Dolan and Latrell Sprewell at the game the other night.
Yeah. They had 10 former Knicks at the game.
Yeah, they were both high or really drunk or something. Like, you could see when people are on something.
Yep.
And there was a gaze to both these guys that was remarkable.
Talking about,
and what, I'm like,
Dolan too?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And this was an amazing thing to watch, and him to be such a smug attitude there and trying to hang out with the Knicks and justify what he did to Oakley was crazy. So the NBA gets involved yesterday. Adam Silver calls a meeting with Oakley and Dolan, and he brings Michael Jordan in to be the mediator of the group. What's your thoughts on this, fantasy exec?
Interesting move. I think a smart move by Adam Silver. I wish he would step in and get the situation with James Dolan squared away and get him to fix his basketball acumen or let the situation go. Obviously, this is not a situation that Phil Jackson can step in and handle, because just like anything else in Phil Jackson's, anytime he's been successful, he needed somebody else to do it for him. So he gets Michael Jordan involved, which was perfect on Adam Silver's behalf. You know, Charles Oakley was the protector of Michael Jordan when Michael Jordan was young in his career, with the Chicago Bulls. They have a friendship that goes way back. Obviously, Jordan being an owner in the NBA, he's in the circle along with James Dolan. So, smart move from Silver to get those guys to sit down to the table. Obviously, you don't really – somebody, Michael Jordan, calls you in for a sit-down, you don't say no. So, I don't know how the phone call went, but I'm guessing – they were able to temporarily hash their differences out, as I think I saw an alert where the ban has been lifted. A stay has been granted for Charles Oakley to return to Madison Square Garden.
You really think, like, I know you hate what Jackson's done with the Knicks, but to say that he's built his career on it,
on the backs
else?
Of Michael Jordan, Shaquille O'Neal, and Kobe Bryant, yes.
Yeah, but he still coached 11 NBA titles. It's
with Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, and Shaquille O'Neal.
Has Bill Belichick built his career on Tom Brady?
Nope. When Kobe and Shaq were older and longer in the tooth, and they played the Detroit Pistons in the finals, Larry Brown put on a coaching clinic, embarrassed Phil Jackson. He was only the best when he had the fastest call on the track.
I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that. 11 NBA titles, I think. You know, speaks for itself.
Michael Jordan got 6 of them, right?
Yeah.
All right.
But, you know, it's like, you know, I think, you know, it's a team sport. You know, it's, you know, Jordan was like, you know, the axis of it, obviously, but it takes a whole team to win a championship, even if you got one great player, even if he's the greatest of all time. But, you know, back to the whole thing with Oakley and Sprewell, what I find interesting is that the whole circus, Frank Isola of the Daily News really put a good perspective on this, saying that, you know, it basically overshadowed the Knicks' biggest win of the entire season. So, you know, beating the San Antonio Spurs on Sunday. So, but you know, there was other external pressure, you know, here locally, like the Brooklyn Borough president was going to meet with James Dolan, which I found interesting because he's got the Nets in his own community. Al Sharpton was going to organize a picket outside.
Stop it.
You know, it's like all this pressure from, like, everybody. It's like, you know, Dolan eventually had to cave in, I think.
What's up with Al Sharpton?
He's got to be involved with everything.
Oh, yes, he does.
Got to be involved with every damn thing.
Yep.
There's no other issues in the world that we're going to worry about Charles Oakley being able to go to a Knicks game. Like, there's nothing really bad happening in the world. We got to make sure Oakley can go to a Knicks game.
Please.
What the hell is happening
to this
guy?
He needs to stay his ass out of it. Go someplace and chill. And collect his TV money.
What do you think, fantasy exec? Will we ever see Oakley at Madison Square Garden again?
I think they're going to figure out a way to make it right. Yeah, to make it right.
Obviously,
the fan base is very supportive of him.
Aren't they kind of on the outs with Ewing, too?
They don't. It's nobody. James Dolan is a fool.
You know what they might do? I think they might concoct something to, like, honor, like, you know, one of those Ewing, Oakley, Starks teams, you know, like, maybe, like, honor, like, you know, the teams that made the finals or something like that and bring them all back as a unit, as a PR stunt.
Mm. That would be bad.
Yeah.
You honoring teams that didn't even win. That would really signify your history.
Well, I think that team though is one of the most beloved in Knicks history though. Even though they didn't win an NBA title, you know, it's got a lot of players that, you know, Knicks fans probably hold as like a lot of their all-time favorites, like Ewing and Starks and Oakley.
But that
I just never heard of that team. I never heard of any franchise. Yeah, has any franchise ever honored a team that didn't win?
They
won the Eastern Conference.
I've seen baseball, you know, right. Do it like, you know, they've, like the Padres would honor, like, you know, the team that, like, went to the World Series, the National League champions, you know, stuff like that. I've seen it.
Really?
And when you're in the those teams in the Michael Jordan era, I mean, listen, nobody was beating this guy, Michael Jordan, so.
Yeah.
You know, I can see that you won the Eastern Conference if you want to bring them back and have a hand clap and, you know what I'm saying, give them some plaques or something like that.
You have to give it a storyline.
You can't raise no banners.
Yeah, but you have to give it a storyline if you're going to bring those guys back all as a unit. I could see them doing that. And I think teams, like, just because you haven't won anything, you know, does that mean the Eagles don't honor anybody? Does that mean the Astros don't honor anybody because they've never won a championship?
You honor individual players, but they don't honor the whole team.
There are certain beloved teams in franchise history, you know, for fans of teams that have never won championships, they have certain teams that they'll remember, you know, that got close for them.
So how long will you celebrate the 86 Mets? Because that's your team that won.
Right, so what's your question? I don't get it.
No, I mean, when is it, you know, you have the 86
they,
Mets.
They still
celebrate
the 69 Mets, too.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah, so
I don't know what your question is. As the fan base gets younger,
it's a dig.
What is there going to be to celebrate?
It's a dig, you know, so how long are they going to celebrate the 2016 Cowboys as a 13-win team that got eliminated immediately?
They didn't win anything. Yeah. There's no reason to celebrate. You can celebrate the two rookies of the year, that's all. Yeah. But nothing else to celebrate there.
Yep.
There you have it. I don't know. We start celebrating. This is what's wrong with America. This is like the participation trophies. Yeah,
I think you can celebrate a conference championship.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. I agree with Tony. I mean, with Corey. I think, you know, getting to the Super Bowl or the World Series is very, very difficult. I don't have a problem with franchises honoring those kind of teams.
That's weak. You got to win something. You got to win it all there. Like the Eastern Cup. That's like when you go to an NHL arena, right? They put up the division championship flags. Like, that's the weakest thing I've ever seen in my life.
I think it's a significant accomplishment just to get there. It's very hard just to get there. There's a lot of teams that, you know, there's fans of a lot of teams who've never seen their teams play in a World Series or a Super Bowl. It's very, very hard just to get there.
Yeah. You're gonna honor people for failing, Scott. What happened?
I don't think that's not. I don't think it's honoring people for failing. I think it's honoring people. Look, it's not winning the championship, and I think everybody will admit it. But you've won a championship of sorts. You know, you're the best in your conference. You're the best in your league. I think that's a significant accomplishment.
I don't know, Scott. I don't know. When you talk about fantasy sports, Scott, you say the other exact opposite. We shouldn't have divisions in fantasy sports because you're just the best out of a select group. You're not the best of the whole thing.
No, that's not why I argue against it. I argue against it because divisions in fantasy sports are randomly generated with no existing underlying thread. See, when I was at CBS Sportsline earlier in my career, we had a fantasy football league with two divisions. One was the radio guys, and the other was the newsroom guys. That I understood.
Yeah, but Scott, I mean, not everybody can break it down like that in every league. I don't have a problem with divisions.
I do. It's like, you know, you win your division at 7-6, and there's a better team in, you know, in the other division that doesn't make the playoffs.
Oh, but if you benefit off of it, you walking around sticking out your chest. I'm fantasy.
No, I don't, and I don't think you've ever heard me do it.
I'm fantasy.
Huh? I don't think you've ever heard me do that.
Wait a minute.
This is like the second time this week, like, you're making shit up about me.
What are you talking about?
What did I make up yesterday?
It's only our second day of the week.
You were talking something about me, like, missing something, like, every draft or something like that.
You do miss picks in every draft. You do miss
not
picks
every
in every
single
draft.
One. No,
Scott, I don't remember a time when you haven't missed a pick in
you're
a draft.
You're ridiculous. You're exaggerating.
Oh,
you're hyperbole.
Goodness.
You're always trying to put out an image, and this is part of it.
What kind of image am I trying to put
more,
out?
You're more used to
what kind of image,
image
am I trying to
you're
put out?
You're making crap up right
this
now.
This is the real deal. This is 100%
crap up. This is not the real deal.
The fantasy executive.
I have never bragged in fantasy football.
You can either get down or lay down.
Well, you can lay down. We know that. You know, it depends on who he is. But, you're making something up here. It's like I have never bragged about winning a division, you know, where I don't have a good record. I've never done that. If I get lucky, I'll say, I got damn lucky by doing it, but.
Oh, no, your thing is injuries. Oh, yeah, your thing is injuries. Oh, he got injured.
Now he's changing the
talking
subject.
About damn
now you change the subject
got
because
injured.
You lost the
you
debate.
He always gets injured,
Scott. What does that have to do with what you were just talking about?
Don't draft guys going to get injured.
Why are you moving
and,
the goalposts?
And then when he get injured, talking about, oh, he's got injured. That's why my team sucked. You knew he was going to be injured
now
when you drafted him.
Now he's moving the goalposts, changing the argument because you lost the debate. Right? Because you said something phony and fake.
I don't know if he lost yet. We can go to Twitter and find out.
I have never ever said that I bragged about winning a division with a 7-6 or something like that record. That's ridiculous. You're gonna come at me, come correct.
I just came at you.
You made something up.
What was Scott? What Scott?
You said that I puffed my chest out about winning a division.
If I can remember,
if you can find that, let me know because it don't exist.
Corey, Scott might be right here. Because when has Scott ever won a division? We're gonna take a quick break. We're gonna come back. And we're going to talk a little Valentine's Day. It feels like the old rental experts around here right now.
A lot
like
going
the old
down
days.
This morning, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of arguing, a lot of fighting. Maybe we'll get some chair throwing a little later. Stay tuned for more from the rental experts. Welcome back to the Roto Experts in the Morning, the Valentine's Day edition. It's not got off to a great start, Valentine's Day.
No love.
You know, every once in a while, you know, Valentine's Day, it's one of those holidays that, you know, sometimes things could go astray. Everybody has the best attention. So right now, I could ask some questions, and I've got America's pulse, and I don't know if you two guys represent America, but this is one of the things we're looking at today. In the spirit of Valentine's Day, which sports relationship is the worst? Now, I did not include Engel and Corey in this one. If I had known this show was going to get off, I would have put them in here. But here are your choices. Pedro Martinez and Don Zimmer. Lou Holtz and Jimmy Johnson. O.J. Simpson and Mark Furman. Or Johnny Manziel. Or Johnny Manziel and himself. Which relationship was the worst in sports history? Pedro and Don Zimmer, Lou Holtz, Jimmy Johnson, OJ and Mark Furman, and Johnny Manziel and himself. Fantasy exec, what do you got?
This is an interesting one right here. Now, all of these guys have some kind of history, obviously. I think Pedro and Dom was a one-time thing. Things got out of hand. It happens. Lou Holtz and Jimmy Johnson, Catholics versus convicts, and that great rivalry back in the day, but I don't remember too much about it. OJ and Mark Furman is, I think we all know about how that all played out.
Yeah.
Still some controversy left to go with that.
Guys need
but
Mark.
Johnny Manziel and himself, I mean, you talk about a disaster waiting to happen. Each and every time you see this guy, he tweets, somebody takes a picture of him, he shows up somewhere, kid's in big trouble. So Johnny Manziel has been betrayed by himself.
Who do you have, the King Scott Engel, when you look at the participants in this love-hate relationship? Which group are you going with here?
I'm going to go with Johnny Manziel and himself. I mean, look at the ridiculous state of quarterback right now in the NFL, and he's blown a golden opportunity. So I'm going to go with Johnny Manziel.
57% of the people chose Johnny Manziel and himself. Second was Pedro Martinez and Don Zimmer. I think that's a lot with the Red Sox-Yankees rivalry. Third was O.J. Simpson and Mark Furman. And then fourth was Lou Holtz and Jimmy Johnson in that one. And it was crazy. I was at the other night. I was flipping channels, and they had another O.J. situation there. This one taking the position of O.J. being innocent, fantasy.
Yeah,
fantasy.
I saw that.
They're getting a lot out of O.J.
Hey, let me tell you something.
Shows.
I was going to say the same thing. They know how to beat it into the ground. But the thing about it is, Tony, it's like a story that everybody is still intrigued by.
Yeah. I mean, do you remember back in the day, Scotty, with O.J. Simpson and the whole Bronco thing?
Yeah, I remember.
I'll never forget it, right?
Yeah.
Right? The whole Bronco thing was the crazy, right? When else, and you think about it, at that time, and I never realized until watching these O.J. Simpson, how bad racial tensions were in Los Angeles, and yet they let this guy drive around for hours before anyone shot him or drove the car off the ground. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen on TV. When you think about everything we've ever watched, that had to be the craziest thing. When else can you watch a police chase the whole night and have fans standing on the sides cheering the guy on against the cops?
Yeah, I wish I could say it on the radio. What he said when he was leaving, when they finally put OJ, when they got inside and they got OJ in the cuffs and they was taking him out, and they was taking him out of Brentwood to the precinct, what he had said to the cops was absolutely, it signified the person that OJ Simpson was.
Yeah, and I don't know if people realize, like, the guy that was like with him was like his former NFL teammate.
Yes, his homeboy.
Yeah,
his BFF.
Al Cowlings. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, Al was he was at the helm of that whole thing there. He was driving around, and he became a centerpiece in that whole discussion there. That was back in the day, and now it's still there among us. Other things we got going on, Valentine's Day, sports-related. The next thing on the agenda, fantasy sports experts in true Valentine's Day fashion love to first gloat on their good calls. Or do fantasy sports experts not take a stand? Do fantasy sports experts love to eat hot dogs? Do fantasy sports experts like to talk down to people? Fantasy executive, this is a shot at our own selves here.
Yeah, our own industry.
What do you think the fantasy sports experts, do they gloat on their good calls, not take a stand, eat hot dogs, or talk down to people?
We gloat on our good calls as a community. It's a part of what we do. I've been talking about Antonio Brown for 5 years now. Remember that time when I told you Antonio Brown was going to be great?
Encarnacion.
Yeah. So, you know, we do gloat about our own calls. It's a part of our MO.
Scott, what do you think it is?
I don't know about the talking down thing. I think that's...
Have you ever listened to Jake Seeley?
He hired him.
No, I'm saying, you know, I'm not saying that certain people don't do it, but I don't think it's widespread necessarily. I think it depends on who it is and how you take it. I think, you know, as far as hot dogs go, I think most of the population likes hot dogs. I know Corey does.
I eat a good hot dog.
Yeah. What was it? What was the other one besides gloating?
It's on
the
Tony's
good calls?
Twitter page.
Yeah, talk down to people.
No,
and
that
not
one I
take
got.
A stand.
Not take a stand. I think most of us take a stand here. You know, that's what you're supposed to do. Back it up. I would say gloat about the good calls, but I think there's a lot of analysts who you know, I know people getting called out for not admitting their bad calls. I think there's a lot of analysts that do it too, but I would probably have to take gloat on their good calls.
Gloat on the good calls was 42% of the vote, and I don't think that's a bad thing, to tell you the truth, right? It's like creating a resume, and you throw it out there, and you tell people how you did. So I don't have a problem with that. 32% voted for eating hot dogs. As Scott, Scott nicely put it, that, you know, all of America likes hot dogs. It's just not fancy. Right?
I would think so, yeah. Mostly, it's like, and then you got the unique situation in New York City with the dirty water dog from the outside.
Oh, yeah. You like those? That adds the ingredients to those hot dogs.
Sometimes when we were working in the old studio, Corey, up at Columbus Circle, and I ran in. I didn't have time for breakfast. It's like I just grabbed two of those.
Oh, really?
Sauerkraut.
Hey,
you know?
them joints sit in your chest for like 4 days.
Yeah, it's not something you can do consistently. Yeah.
I had to let
By the way, Tony, did you tell? I had a good Valentine's Day marketing idea too.
Oh, really?
I thought about FATSY Network greeting cards.
Hold on one second. 16% was talk down to people. 9% not take a stand. Now let me hear about these greeting cards.
Yeah, I think they should have them with like, there should be one with like you holding a bouquet of flowers on the front, and then, you know, it's just like a simple message from like your favorite fantasy analysts on the network, you know, and then you open it up and it says, it's all about you, hon. You're absolutely getting it done.
There you go. Yeah. Fantasy executive. Fantasy executive. Can you tell me how that would change your Valentine's Day? Is getting a card from your fantasy analyst, your favorite, like getting your Lenny Melnick Valentine's Day card?
He's looking at you, kiddo. Bada bing, bada boom.
Well, what would his Sussman card say?
This Grammy goes to you.
Honey, you're making me bank.
Sussman would have to be one of those like $10 cards that comes with the voice in it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Open it up and it goes, it is February 14th.
Yeah, they have to open that card 3 times. You want to burn it? We're going to take a quick break on the Valentine's Day edition. You guys want to participate, you can participate 844-843-6879. Call us with something you love. Give us something you love. Don't make it a woman, though. Women, they're a dime a dozen, yeah. I think, right?
No. Let me have some. Yeah, you know, no, I'm very appreciative. Shout out to happy Valentine's Day to Kelly in Tampa. I know there's other females that's listening, too. You know what I'm saying? But I know Kelly's checking in on the check-in, so happy Happy Valentine's Day, Kels.
Checking in on the check-in. Let me look that up.
It means she's rolling with us, Scott. She's a part of the family.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just making
sure. She's rocking it out.
Nerd.
We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back.
Fake.
We're going to make LeSean McCoy be right. Stay tuned for more from the Roto Experts in the Morning. Don't go anywhere.
Welcome back to the Roto Experts in the Morning. Scott Engel, Tony Cincotta, and Corey Parson here with you. We'll take you to until 10 a.m. Eastern time when Corey will be doing the old school fantasy hour.
Scott, it's us, not just me.
That was very good. Yeah, you'll be with that him too there, Scott. Are you leaving?
That's what I'm trying to figure out, Scott.
No.
Is it me and George today? The homie Todd Zola will be on with us to talk about labor, too.
Yeah.
Labor, and that's spelled different for people out there that are hooked on phonics, L-A-B-R. Scott, do you ever do Hooked on Phonics? They don't talk about that as much anymore.
No, I never did when I was a kid.
No, I didn't either.
No.
Yeah. All right, this is going to be a tough one for you guys. You ready?
Yeah.
Corey has to go back to the days he was married. Are you okay with that, Corey?
You were never officially married, though, right?
Scott, don't. No, yeah. Scott, just go with it.
Scott, what is wrong with you, Scott? Like, what? What? Want to tell about the library books he lost to and he never returned? Yeah. I mean, what the hell is wrong with you? Oh, Jesus. That was crazy. here we go.
What are we
My
doing
Valentine's
here?
My Valentine's Day would suck if my wife knew I only listen to Pat Mayo, the money I spend in DFS, that I believe in batter pitcher data, or that I'm a closet MMA fan. What would make your life suck if your wife knew that you listen to Pat Mayo, the money spent on DFS, believe in batter pitcher data, or MMA closet fan Scott Engel? Which one would your life suck if your wife knew the following?
Probably the money spent on DFS. You know, it's although it's not a large amount, though. It's like I don't think she's a big fan of it.
How about fantasy executive?
Mine's is if she knew that I was looking at batter pitcher data, she'd be saying, "Is so many other things going on in this house, and all you do is sit up here and look at batter pitcher data while your daughter is, eating oodles and noodles." You know what I mean? So there you go, right
you
there.
You talk about my Woba.
I think on mine it would be listening to Pat Mayo.
Really?
I mean, if like when you come in and, like, in your secretive, like, and, you know, your wife comes in and you've got the laptop and all of a sudden you move it so she can't see it.
Yeah.
She thinks you're watching, like, Lisa Ann. And yeah. when you're watching Pat Mayo, there's a huge disappointment and they start questioning you.
Yeah, because she's like, well, what's up with this guy? And you're like, oh, it's Pat Mayo. And she's like, who is Pat Mayo? And then you tell her about the golf and all of that, and she's like, I can't.
What if she watches The Bachelor, though, that you could bring you together, play Fantasy Bachelor?
Yeah, I mean.
No, I think I don't know people that watch that. Do you guys know people that watch The Bachelor?
My cousin plays Fantasy Bachelor.
Really?
Yeah.
My cousin plays fantasy basketball.
Are they in prison?
No.
Oh, all right. I just wanted to make sure. I thought maybe they had, you know, limited choices.
of watching. Hey, I think I may have seen one episode of that thing one time. You know what I'm saying? Like I was saying, Trey Songz is about to have a dating show. I might catch a couple episodes of that because probably be some real good-looking women in that. But I'm not interested in him getting more action. He already get enough action. And a lot of these dudes get a lot of action anyway. So, you know what I mean? So it's kind of like, you know. See, if I was to do, there was like, who loves the fantasy exec of Fantasy Sports Network would put right. together a dating show for me.
Yeah.
Hint, hint, Nando. It would be an interesting season because, like, whenever a girl got eliminated, you kind of would figure you kind of already would know what happened. Good time, honey. But now let me stop. Everybody's crossing their fingers.
Can you imagine
Scott, what do you want to talk about that for?
What do you think, like, what would he do on his big date, Scott? What would the fantasy executive take with this woman on his big date?
Where would he take a woman on a big date? Well, probably not to Rockin' Riley's. I'm not sure. That's a good one. Probably
not to Madison Square
not
Garden.
Not to Madison
either.
Square Garden. Probably to a Golden State Brooklyn Nets game.
The Thunder coming to Brooklyn, and Golden State has already been. I missed that. The Thunder are coming next month. I want to see when the Wizards are coming. That's who I want to see play now is the Wizards. They're a fun team.
Yeah,
I'm surprised you're one of them KKK guys.
Huh?
You're one of those KKK guys?
But not me. Oh, you're talking about the Washington Wizards, Tony.
Clear. Yeah. See, I get confused. I was like, what is he talking about? Yeah, why the Wizards?
No, the Washington Wizards, yes.
Different.
Not the Grand Wizards.
Yeah.
You can't have them people.
Oh, God, boy, Gloria. From Tupelo, Mississippi, the Grand Wizards.
And you had a problem with the Cleveland Indians. What is this? What are we doing here?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Greg would not like this morning.
No, he would not. Mm-mm. Definitely a different vibe with Tony's on the show.
It's the Roto Experts in the Morning with the fantasy executive and the King Scott Angle as we're giving you the Valentine's edition of today's action.
Trump
we've already found a disgruntled LaShawn McCoy this morning with Pro Football Focus and nerds that do fantasy analysts. You can't be a nerd and hang out with LaShawn McCoy. But the King Scott Angle has rebutted him and say it's cool to be a nerd. So maybe it's not cool to be a running back in the NFL anymore.
Well, I just don't think it's cool the way he responds to something like that. Yeah.
Very immature.
Yeah, I mean, all right, what if somebody ranked like the top 100 fantasy analysts and they didn't include me? Okay, honestly, yeah, it would bother me, but I'm not going to publicly lash out on Twitter.
Oh, no, you would. You would. If they were to put together a list of the top 100 fantasy analysts and you wasn't on it, your ass would be on Twitter talking, and you would be on this radio station. You would be very upset, Scott.
I would be upset, but I have something that you lack.
What's
tact.
That? Oh, come on. Yeah. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? I've seen, as much as I've seen you cry, remember, Scott, I know you. Remember, I know you. I didn't miss my first day, Scott. I've been robbing with you for 6 years, Scott.
The only time I cried is that they told me that you were coming to this network after the last one. All right? I would be upset about it, but I'm not going to go tack somebody on Twitter about it and call them a name. You know, because, you know, really? At a certain point, you got to be professional about things, you know?
Yeah, that seems to be a tough time.
I'll teach
time
you about
lately.
That, Corey.
Being professional. I am professional. Yeah. I'm here, ain't I?
Yeah.
There you have it. The Scott Angle's promising things. I don't know. It's going to be a do-it-at-home professional kit, along with the exclusive Edge package. A lot of things happening at rotoexperts.com. You can join in, and you can participate over there. We got 1 hour down. It's been a lot of yelling, screaming, a lot of love, a lot of laughs. Who knows what's going to happen in the next 2 hours? It could get crazy. It could get insane. Scott doesn't know if he has to be here at 10 a.m. yet or not. We'll figure that out. Stay tuned for more from the Roto Experts in the Morning.